In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Lord bestow upon us his grace and his blessing, now and ever into the ages of all ages. Amen. Today is the Sunday of the Prodigal Son, one of the beloved Sundays, one of the beloved Gospels in the entire Scripture. And we see the Son, the beloved Son of God, in a field of swine. And yes, it is a very sad picture. But before we get to the swine, I think there's an elephant in the room that needs to be addressed. Not just only in this place, but in every place in the past months that has affected in some way every family, organization, and establishment in a very short period of time. I'm not going to speak now about precautions. That will come later. But we are here to focus on our salvation, our repentance, and our service. And in the past week, this pandemic has led to a severe panic. And every Christian is not susceptible, or should not be susceptible, to such a panic. That in every store, hospital, social gathering, that is reminded of what is happening. And many people asking the same question, how are we supposed to live with the coronavirus? As I was reading this past week, I found a passage from C.S. Lewis, one of the famous Christian authors, who was speaking in 1948 about the atomic bomb. And he responded to the same question. He said, how can we live with it? And he says, just the same way that you have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London, and almost every plague that happened each year, or as if you lived in the age of the Vikings when the raiders from Scandinavia came and could cut anyone's throat at night. Or indeed, if we could add that, how do we live with cancer, heart disease, car accidents, hurricanes, earthquakes, and all sorts of natural disasters that increase upon us day after day? So instead of exaggerating the difficulty of our situation, we must be reminded that we already have been sentenced to death before this virus was ever discovered. And in many ways, we are going to die in unpleasant ways. The time we do not know, and the way we do not know. But this one more thing has been added, cannot change our focus on life. Instead, we should focus on a few things that I suggest during this time. The first thing in this period of panic is not to fear. The first lesson that we need to hear, that we can't live in hysteria and fear, anxiety and worry about what may happen to us or to others. This message, do not fear, is found more than 365 times in Scripture as a reminder that this is the daily message that we would hear. As the Lord says in Isaiah, do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. And as he assures Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. This is the time, or as it says to David the prophet, let your heart be strengthened and hope in the Lord. And the psalmist replies, the Lord is my strength and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Sometimes even in this fear and panic, we may need to avoid the people who are panic-stricken. Some people, with so much panic in them, that they insist to speak to us and encourage us to lead us in the same panic that they are living in. You are blessed to have a priest who will strengthen you in every time of need with the strong faith that God provides. I remember a few years ago when the president Morsi was appointed, and the people came to church in fear and in panic and in weeping, and no matter of words could calm them in the beginning. But as you know very well, it lasted for 1 year, and some people don't even remember what was the details of that panic. The devil has struck when we are fasting always, and praying, and offering matanyas, and reading. So this is not the time for fear, but to be strengthened with the power of God. At the same time, the second lesson is for us to be responsible. not to give an excuse, to be careless, or to be in any way lacking diligence, but to be responsive to the warnings that have been provided for us, and to take care as much as we can. As the book of Sirach says, that before you get sick, take care of your health. God instructed Moses and children of Israel to eat good and healthy food. And he told them what to eat, not only because it was a sign of the Israelites, but because there were foods in that time that were not good for them. And so he listed many things that during that time it would be the clean things to eat because it was good for them. Just like we buckle our seatbelts and take certain precautions, it's not a lack of faith that we do these things. And even when you do it, you may not be conscious of what you are doing. So that's why the instructions that are provided for us, we follow as good stewards of the grace of God. So that we wouldn't be in any way lacking in diligence or negligent in any way or reckless about these matters. You have the icon and the blessing of Saint Verena, who was a model and example to this day, which led not just one people, but an entire nation in Switzerland to learn about hygiene and prevention. It became a model not only for these matters, but also in type of her prayer, and as a model of a good Christian, who even when these didn't work, because of her prayer, was able to bring a lot of people to the faith in Christ. We may even need, as some people, to go into a time of strict seclusion. During the fast is a time where we already limit the social events. We already go stay in our home. We already leave and increase, or we should be increasing these things. So this time is an opportunity to assess and to reflect and to lead us into the place where we should be already. The third lesson is in this time to turn to the Lord. We heard the gospel of the prodigal son. We will hear the gospel of the Samaritan woman. And all of these gospels were reminders for us to turn to God and to repent from all that needs to be changed, so that God may give us his grace and his mercy. And as the situation gets worse, I find more and more the blessings of people turning to God and even giving us the opportunity to be with him more. That this is what, from maybe in the past decades, we have been struggling for more time. And especially in our city, everyone is too busy. If not for the appointments, but for the distances, and if that for the traffic. God has relieved many of these things from us. But what are we doing with that extra time? To turn to the Lord and to be with him in a very deep way. This is not a punishment from God, but actually we will find in it many blessings. That as Abraham, God tells the Israelites in the book of Exodus, do not be afraid, God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. And in this time, there are many people who have turned to repentance. We have the reminder in a couple weeks of the paralyzed man who, in the midst of his seclusion, it turned to despair and he turned to littleness of faith. That even when the solution was before him, he was lacking in faith, but the Lord strengthened him. But he promises, as he says in the book of Jeremiah, he gives assurance. He said, nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. Because in the time of Jeremiah, there was destruction. There were fires in Jerusalem. There was the time of the captivity that was very difficult for him to accept. But the Lord said, I will heal my people. I will let them again enjoy abundant peace and security. I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity, and I will rebuild them as they were before. I will cleanse them from all the sin that they have committed against me, and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. In this time, we may make adjustments or we will increase in our prayers for others. We will focus on the prayer of the sick, on the prayer of the place, on the prayer of the leaders, on the prayer of those who who are even strangers to God. That we will increase, as even St. John the Beloved, he starts his third epistle by saying, "Dear friend, I pray that you enjoy every good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting well." That he was praying for the physical and for the spiritual, for everyone who is the child of God. So in this time, let your psalms and your prayers be dedicated not only for you, but for the others. That we will focus on the physical and the spiritual care, not only for us, but for those around us. The fourth lesson is how to do good. As you heard from the Pauline Epistle, that in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fasting. So if the virus comes, then let it come when we are doing good, when we are serving others, when we are praying for others, when we are teaching others, when we are reading, when we are working, when we are doing good. Not for those to be scared in a corner, weeping and crying and worrying. This, the nation has declared a day of prayer. But all of our lives are prayer. We are a living manifestation of intercession for the people of God who need. And this is the time that we need each other most, to strengthen each other and to serve each other in times of need. We may be separated in body, but not in spirit. And we should be focused on prayer for all of those who are afflicted in many different kinds of ways. So many needs exist, and many more are coming. So we need to be responsive and not only focused on ourselves as usual, but the time to serve others. In the second century, there was a plague that they called the Antoine Plague. In 165 to 180, and it came back again in the year 251. The people were affected by fever, vomiting, swollen throat, coughing, and many other things similar to what we experience today. And it killed 1/3 of the Roman Empire. Some people estimate 60 to 70 million people were killed by this. And it was believed to come from China through the Silk Trade that ended up in Rome. So there was a severe panic in Rome and the entire Roman Empire. And during this time, Christianity was new. And the Christians were very strong in faith. As the people, the non-believers, left and fled to different countries outside of the Roman Empire, the Christians stayed and served. And they found out and they discovered that with this disease, that people who had a resistance to it were able to develop a resilience even when it came back later and their generations. And many people, these Christians, some of them died, but many of them lived to serve the others, people who were afflicted. And the people who survived, among those being served, many of them became Christians. The pagans who came back, many of them became Christians. And one of the historians said that the turn and the fall of the Roman Empire was due for many things, but one thing that wasn't estimated or calculated was this event, because there was a clear discovery of Christianity and the weakness of an empire, a worldly empire. So what the Christians did then was to care and for the sick, was to love and to serve, and not be afflicted by panic or fear. St. Dionysius, during his time, had a similar. In fact, they called the plague, they named it after him for some reason. And same for Cyprian of Carthage. Cyprian, he said that the Christians, heedless of danger, took charge of the sick and attending to every need, to the point where people began to complain and say, how come the Christians are not getting sick, but the other people are? They were getting sick like the rest, but God gave them a special blessing, so that they could serve when the other people were not serving. So to be Christian means to die to serve our neighbor, to be surrounded by the people who are in most need, not to be surrounded by masks that even we may not be able to use. This also is a time of joy, that for everything, concerning everything, and in everything, that we give thanks. St. Cyprian, in his letter, which is a very powerful one, as this plague, and that's what there were none of the facilities, none of the hospitals that we have now. In fact, the hospitals were created during the plague by the Christians so that there would be a sanitized area, so when people do get sick, they won't get sicker. It was an invention. But before all of that invention, St. Cyprian was speaking about the assurance of joy. He said, yes, there is sorrow, but don't let your sorrow come upon you and increase, but let your sorrow be turned to joy. He said, this is not a time that people will think of as a festival, but it is a time of distress. It is a time for many people of distress and sadness. But he said, for us, it is a time of unimaginable joy. He said, to see Christ is to rejoice. We cannot have joy unless we shall see Christ. What blindness of mind, or what folly it is to love the world's afflictions and punishments and tears, and rather not to hasten to the joy which can never be taken away. Beloved brethren, this is so because faith is lacking, because no one believes that the things which God promises are true, although He is true, whose word to believers is eternal and unchangeable. This is what he wrote in the 3rd century, to remind us in our advanced age that we as Christians must take the same position of joy. A joyful, cautious, loving service during this time in which the world needs very strong, faithful Christians to always do the right thing. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us serve one another with this joy and faith. Let us repent and turn to the Lord. Let us be responsible in our actions. Let us not fear, because the Lord is always with us. Glory be to Him now and ever, and to the ages of all ages.